إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our second session in reading from the book Maqasid al-Hajj, that is, the goals and objectives of the pilgrimage, yani those things which one should be striving to achieve during the performance of Hajj. The author of our book is Sheikh Abdul Razak ibn Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad al-Badr hafidhahumullah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. Our topic this evening, yani, is the continuation of what we started with last week, yani the second and third of the maqasid, of the goals or objectives of pilgrimage. And before we look at those two matters, I want to go back and review quickly some of the points that we mentioned last week from the questionnaire study guide from lecture number one. The first question is, yani, or the first actually three areas that we're going to deal with is the question dealing with the introduction to the book. The first question being the title of the book in Arabic and English. Title of the book in Arabic and English. Now, anybody know the title of the book? Wow. Help us. Now, Muhammad. Maqasid al-Hajj. Yani two words. Maqasid al-Hajj. Maqasid, yani, is the plural of maqsid. Means goal or objective or aim, purpose. Maqasid al-Hajj. The goals, the objectives of the pilgrimage. And it's not critically important that you know the title of the book in Arabic, but it does, and there's benefit in it, no doubt. What is important is to know the subject matter, and the title tells us the subject matter of what is under study. The second part of this question, author's name, date of birth, and education. And anybody knows the author's name? In short, his name in short, Naam, Abdullah. Sheikh Abdul Razak, Naam, the son of? Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, Naam, Al-Abbad Al-Badr. Date of birth, anybody remember his date of birth? Sheikh Abdul Razak, his date of birth, 13 something, Naam, not 14, he's a little older than that. No. 86. Close. In the 80s. Nah, Muhammad. 1382. 1382. 22nd. He was born the 22nd day of the month of Dhul Qa'da. In the year 1382. We're in the year what now? Of the Hijra? 1438. So that makes him how old? 1382, 1438. Almost. A little more. 56. Naam. Date of birth. What else? Okay, education. Education. Where did he receive his education? University of Medina. And he was born in the Riyadh province, in the place, a place called Zulfi, Riyadh province in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. His university studies were at the University Al-Jami Islamiyah, Islamic University of Medina. He did his undergraduate study there, as well as his master's degree and his PhD degree. Now, after this, his teachers, his writings, and his occupation. Okay, his teachers. Who knows any of his teachers? At least one of them. Now, his father. Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad. Naam, Hafidhullah. Who else? Other teachers. Two of the three imams of this era. Naam, Umar. Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh Abdul Aziz and Abdul Ibn Baz, rahimahullah. And also, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Naam. Writings, some of his books. And we mentioned a number of books, about 10 of them, from books that are well known from his writings, that are in Arabic, and some that have been translated also into English. Any one of them. Naam. Naam, the explanation of, his explanation of the supplications, called Fiqh al-Adhkar wal-Ad'iyya, naam. Also, that's a book that he wrote himself, naam. What else? What about one of the books that we studied last year or so, not too long ago, about Salat? What is the name of that book? Who remembers? Ta'azim al-Salat, naam. What else? Other books. Some of his explanations of some of the books of the scholars. He has explanations of the book of Bukhari, Ibn Taymiyyah, a lot of books. Any of them, we don't remember any of them? And he has an explanation of a famous book by Al-Imam al-Bukhari called Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Book of Hadith. He has an explanation of that book. Also, from the books of the scholars, Ibn Taymiyyah, one of his books. Which book of Ibn Taymiyyah he has an explanation of that you remember? We did something on some of them. Naam, one of them, naam. Didn't we do explanation of al-wasiyah? Al-wasiyah, al-sugra, concise legacy. And also he has explanation of a lot of other books. Some of the books that he wrote that are translated into English, the importance of time in the life of a Muslim. Huh? What else? The Minhaj of Ahl Sunnah and uniting the Ummah. Huh? 50 points of benefit derived from the story of Luqman, Al-Hakim, naam. He also has an explanation of a book of supplications of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Famous book, his famous book of supplications. What's the famous book of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah of supplications? Supplications. Book is he collected supplications from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh explained them. Al-Kalim al-Tayyib. Anyway, these are some of his books. And his teachers and his occupation is well known, right? What is his occupation? What does he do for a living? What does he get a salary for doing? He works somewhere, right? He has a job. He's a mudarris. He's a teacher. He's on the teaching, a member of the teaching staff of Jamia Islamia. Naam. And he's well known for his lectures and dawrah training courses in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and locally in Medina, in the masajid, and around the country, and even around the world. This is the first question. Second question, complete the hadith. Al-Hujjaj wal-Ummar are the delegates or the guests of Allah. Naam. Reported by Al-Bazzar in his Musnad, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it's Hassan. Anybody memorize this hadith? Al-Hujjaj, naam, wal-Ummar. Start with from the beginning of it. وفد الله الحجاج والعمار the people who are performing pilgrimage and the people who are going for Umrah, they are the وفد الله the delegates or the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نعم دعاهم فأجابوه سألوه وسألوه فعطاهم. نعم. What is the meaning of this hadith? Anybody remember? What is the meaning of what he just recited? نعم. Ahmed.
The pilgrims,
The pilgrims of Hajj and people making Umrah
are
the guests of Allah. Naam.
He called them and they answered.
He called them and he invited them to the Kaaba, to the Bayt Allah. He called them and they answered. They responded. They came.
They asked him.
For their needs, and
he gave them
and he responded. Naam. Question number three. Why is This subject, so important for the one performing Hajj and the Muslims in general. Naam, Abu Sa'id. Okay, because it's a pillar of Islam. Naam. But Hajj, naam, is important because it's a pillar of Islam. But why is this subject, the maqasid of Hajj, why is this so important for the one who's performing pilgrimage and the Muslims in general? Naam. Okay, he has to know how to perform Hajj. That's true, but and in the first part, and he will take hold on to that part. As far as knowing how to perform Hajj, yani manasik al Hajj, knowing how to do it, that's one thing. That's not really our topic here, though, right? Our topic is what you said in the beginning, yani the what, the purpose, the goals, the objectives for which Hajj has been legislated. Yani a person has to know what are the goals, what are the objectives, what are the aims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended the people performing pilgrimage to achieve. Yani, what are you there for? To do what? Just to go through the rites of Hajj? For what reason? In order to achieve something. To achieve certain goals and objectives. Now. And it's one of the greatest means of nearness to Allah. But again, that's a reference to the Hajj itself. Why Hajj is important. But this question here, I want to distinguish between the importance of Hajj and the importance of knowing what are the objectives of Hajj. Okay, we know that Hajj is important, right? For example, let's say we know Hajj is important and so we go to perform it, but we don't know what are the objectives of Hajj. We don't know Allah legislated the pilgrimage in order for you to achieve what? The objectives. That's what we're talking about here. What are the objectives? If a person doesn't know those objectives, when they go to make Hajj, how will they achieve them? How will they achieve them if they don't know what they are? So this is the importance of this subject is what? Is in order for a person to achieve the goals of the pilgrimage, the objectives of pilgrimage, they have to know what they are. Naam,
akhi. One of the objectives could be getting closer to Allah.
Okay, getting closer to Allah could be one of the objectives, no doubt. And we're going to talk about the objectives. Yani we began last week and we're going to talk about them for the rest of this yani series, right? We're going to be talking about what those objectives are. Okay, question, naam. Okay, intentions. Now, a person when they make intent, they have to be clear on what they're doing and why they're doing it. Now, what did the author say in his introduction, which shows the great importance of Hajj itself? What did the author say in the introduction? The author, yani Sheikh Abdul Razak. What did he say in his introduction, which shows the great importance of Hajj itself? Now. What did he say? Anybody remember what he said in the introduction? Abu Sa'id mentioned some of them already. Somebody else. Okay, Abu Sa'id, come back again. Huh? Okay, that a person may be free from all sins. This is one of the benefits of Hajj. Now, okay, but the Shaykh himself, he said in the introduction, and he said that the Hajj, it is important because of what? Because number one, he said it earlier. Because a rukn min arkan al-Islam. And because Hajj is a rukn from arkan al-Islam. Is Hajj important? It's a pillar of Islam. How could it not be? That's the first thing he said. In one sentence he said, and also it is what? He said it is an ibadah azimah. Huh? And a what? And one of the greatest acts of worship. A great act of worship. And it is also, what else he said? Fa'ah. Jalila, an act of obedience, a noble act of obedience. It's a noble act of obedience. And also he said it is a qurba, min a'zam al-qurb. Yani from the greatest of things that people do in order to seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we reflect on these four points that the Shaykh mentioned in the beginning of his introduction, yani what he's saying here is that this Hajj is very, very important. It's a pillar of Islam. It's a magnificent act of worship. It is a lofty, yani, act of obedience. And it is from the greatest of the means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Muslim wants to be near to their Lord, right? So this is from the greatest things that a person can do to get near to Allah. That is to perform the pilgrimage. Whoever hasn't done it, it is incumbent upon us to make every effort to do so. Question number five. Question number five mentioned the greatest and most noble and lofty of the goals and objectives of Hajj, and why is that soul. Yani the greatest, the most noble of goals and objectives of Hajj. What is it and why is that so? I'm going to start with Abu Sa'id and then I'm going to come to Mustafa and then I'm going to come to Ahmed if we still need your help, inshallah. You can finish it off now. To actualize Tawheed, yani tahqiq al-Tawheed. Yani the greatest goal of the pilgrimage is to, yani the realization, the actualization, the implementation of al-Tawheed, of al-Tawheed. Naam, that's a fact. So, why is this the greatest objective or goal of Hajj? Why? Why is that so? Naam. And again, brothers and sisters, there's no doubt that some of these questions could be answered in more than one way. But as students, we as students, right, we want to study what we are reading. We want to study it carefully and we want to look at what the scholars in these books that we are studying, what they have said. And it's not so much freestyle, ijtihad from you, rather it's what the Shaykh said. That's what we're actually looking for. Although, yeah, there's no doubt that there could be other ways of answering these questions. We're looking for what the Shaykh said. Yani we read it, we discussed it, and yani we want to try to see what we can retain from what we have here. Okay, so now we're saying why. Why did the Shaykh say, alaykum salam, why did the Shaykh say, yani, that this is the greatest of the goals of Hajj now? Naam. Meaning?
Because Tawheed, it is the foundation that Allah has created us, Azza wa Jal, for.
Naam. It's the asas for which Allah created us. For its purpose. Yani for the establishment of Tawheed. And He also said,
أَوْجَدَنَا
لِتَحْقِيقِ. And He brought us into existence to realize this, to achieve this thing. What? The observance, the actualization, the establishment of a Tawheed. This is the very purpose for which Allah created us. And He brought us into existence in order to realize this objective. And Islam is built upon it, and every good deed branches out from it, from a Tawheed. And any deed that doesn't have Tawheed as its foundation, then it won't be accepted by Allah. Question number 6. Memorize the talbiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many people memorize the talbiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? 1, 2. Huh? 2, 3. How many people made Hajj? 4. Ayyib. We made Hajj. I hope we didn't forget the talbiyah after we learned it. And we recited it so many times in Hajj. How can you forget it? I recited hundreds of thousands of times, right? Tayyib, somebody, let me see. Who memorized it right now? Who can recite it to us? Naam. Oh, I'm coming to you if you want to. Naam. Go ahead. Go ahead. Naam. Anybody else? Naam. Tariq. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, Barakallah Fikum. One more, somebody else, now. Mustafa, let me hear from Mustafa. Yes. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. And we can divide this into two sentences. And in the first sentence, wa alaykum salam. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. And the second sentence, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. And the reason why I'm saying that is because actually, and the Shaykh has explained it like this in these two sentences, that these are two parts and they represent yani two aspects of a Tawheed. Mention the words of shirk of the mushrikun in their talbiyah for Hajj. Naam, fadl.
The mushrikun used to say, labbaik la sharika lak.
Naam, labbaik la sharika lak. Labbaik la sharika lak. Yani, here I am at your command, at your service, and you have no partner. And then they added to it,
la sharika huwa lak.
نعم إلا شريكا هو لك. يعني you have no partner except a partner that belongs to you. تملكه, you own him, وما ملك, and whatever he possess, you own him and what he possess. نعم. And this يعني تلبية of the مشركين is a clear indication of their pure shirk. يعني Allah, you have no partner except that you do have a partner. And that's shirk, right? Making something as an equal with Allah. طيب, question number 8. Discuss the talbiyah of the Prophet ﷺ as it relates to the two divisions of At-Tawheed. As it relates to the two divisions of At-Tawheed. Anybody wrote any notes on this question? Naam, Abu Bakr. Okay, the first sentence contains the meaning that Allah has no partner in ijaba, in answering the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani labbayka, yani this answering Allah's call, here I'm at your service, at your command. Allah has no partner in this. Yani this belongs to Allah alone. Answering Him, submitting, complying, obedience to Him. He has no partner in this. Now, and the second one is in compliance to Him alone, meaning? That he has no partner in what? Both of them contain the statement لا شريك لك, right? So the first one, he has no partner in and the second one, in the praise. يعني إن الحمد, the praise, والنعمات, and the bounty or favor, لك والملك, belong to you, and also the kingdom, the sovereignty, belongs to you. Meaning that Allah has no partner in this also. And these two يعني matters, having no partner in the ijabah and having no partner in reference to the hamd and the ni'mah and the mulk. Yani, how is this related to the two aspects of tawheed? Now,
Shaykh, he said the first part of the talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, he says it is ala tawheed al-amali.
Yani, the first part, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, this deals with, this points to tawheed al-amali. Al-amali. Naam, and the second part, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكِ, deals with Tawheed al-Amali. Yani the first part deals with Tawheed al-Ilmi, meaning in reference to knowledge. I mean, the first part is Tawheed al-Amali, dealing with action. The action, right? And this action is what is normally mentioned as Tawheed action. The actions of the human being. Uluhiyya. Ubudiyya, the actions of the human being that belong to Allah alone, that are only given to Allah alone. And the second part, innal hamda wa ni'mata, yani this is in reference to knowledge, that praise belongs to Allah and the favor all is from Allah and the kingdom belongs to Allah. This is in reference to knowledge, two types of knowledge, knowledge of Allah's names and attributes and knowledge of Allah's yani authority and rulership in the universe. This is Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat and Tawheed al-Rububiyya. So Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat and Tawheed al-Rububiyya come under Tawheed al-Ilmi. And actions of the human being, obedience, compliance, submission, come under Tawheed al-Amali. طيب, after this, memorize the Hadith Qudsi in which Allah declares Himself free of need of any partners, reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Anybody memorize this Hadith? Naam, fadl. طيب, أنا أغنى الشركاء. What is the meaning?
I am the most self-sufficient of partners.
نعم, يعني that's like a literal translation, right? I am the most self-sufficient of the shuraka, the partners. Meaning those that they claim are partners to Allah. If they had any self-sufficiency, يعني independence, being free of need, Allah is the most one free of need. That is according to their claim. But in reality, يعني there are no partners for Allah. And he's not the most one free of need. Rather, he's the only one free of need. Naam. أنا أغنى الشركاء من عامل عملا أشرك فيه معي غيري تركته وشركه.
What does a deed and makes partners with me and another one? other than me, then I will leave him to what he has committed upon him.
طيب, whoever does any deed in which he has ashraka fihi ma'i ghayri, and he has made shirk in it, made something as an equal or partner with Allah, someone else, yani from the created beings. He have made them as a partner with Allah in which way? Yani in intent. That they are doing it for the sake of Allah and they're also doing it for the sake of someone or something else. Whoever makes something as a partner with Allah in this, then Allah, he says, he has tarabt. Yani taraptuhu, yani he said, I have left him, abandoned him, and his shirk. Naam. And this is a very important hadith. At least its meaning should be comprehended. The last question, memorize the ayah from the 6th surah, 162nd and 163rd ayat mentioned by the author, which declares all worship for Allah without any partner. Naam, Musa. قل إن الصلاة ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت أنا أول المسلمين. نعم. What is the meaning of this ayah? إن الصلاة ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي. What is the meaning of this? نعم. صلاة. إن الصلاة ونسكي. What is the meaning of نسكي? Slaughter, sacrifice. Also, the meaning may be Hajj, in reference to this Hajj specifically, or Ibadah in general. In a Salati wa Nusuki, Mahyaya wa Mamati, dying and living, living and dying, now Lillahi. All of it is for Allah alone, the Lord of all the worlds. And He has no partner in any of this. Now, these are some of the topics that we talked about last week. Some of the topics that we dealt with last week. And tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we want to look at the second and third maqsid, objective or goal of the maqasid of Hajj. Keeping in mind, brothers and sisters, that the one who is performing Hajj is in dire need of having in the forefront of their mind these goals and objectives that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for the person performing Hajj to achieve, so that they actually strive to achieve them. But not only that, but rather every single Muslim, if you examine these goals and objectives of Hajj, we will come to realize that these are goals and objectives that every Muslim in their life, throughout their life, not just in Hajj, is in need of keeping in the forefront of our mind and striving to achieve. Yani, there's no doubt about the first maqsid that the Shaykh mentioned, the realization, the establishment of Tawheed. Is only the person who's performing Hajj needs to know this? That this is a goal or an important goal or objective? Rather, every Muslim is in need of realizing this. That every day in our life, it should be in the forefront of our mind. That we have been created, that we have been brought into existence for this very purpose. That is the realization, the actualization, the implementation, the manifestation, the establishment of Tawheed. So as you look at these goals, even though we're talking about Hajj, but keep in mind that even if a person is not planning to perform Hajj this year or next year, nonetheless, this is something that we're all in need of being conscious of, being aware of, and trying to keep in the forefront of our mind as we go through our lives, every day in our life, that these are goals that a Muslim should be trying to achieve, to realize. The Shaykh, he begins here, al-maqsid al-thani, and the second goal or objective, meaning of Hajj, is al-fawz bi-ridha Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala wal-najat min narihi. Yani, that a person be successful in achieving the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being saved from his fire, hellfire. And this is the second objective or goal that the Shaykh mentions. And there's no doubt in my mind, and if you examine it carefully, I think it will become clear to you too, that the order and arrangement of these goals and objectives are not just haphazard. And as we go through them, you'll see that the Shaykh, he has examined carefully each of these issues, and he has put them in the order that he put them yani consciously, fully aware of what he is doing here. The second maqsad or goal objective of Hajj, the Shaykh says, is to be successful in achieving, attaining or obtaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being saved from his hellfire. Min maqasid al-hajj, from the goals and objectives of Hajj, is al-fawz bi ridha Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being successful in earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, that the Muslim, a Muslim does something, like what? Like obeying Allah's commands, avoiding His prohibitions, doing the things that He has commanded us with or encouraged us with, knowing the things that Allah loves and trying to be yani involved in those things and knowing what Allah dislikes and abandoning those things. This is from the things that will earn the pleasure of Allah. Yani Allah will be pleased with you if you are obedient to Him, right? If you have children, everyone who has children knows that you are not pleased with the child that's disobedient to you. Rather, you are pleased with the child that's obedient to you. Naam. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلَ الْعَالَى. And the highest descriptions belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no comparison between Allah and the creation. But there's no doubt that this is something that a human being can even understand. Why would Allah yani be pleased if you're obedient to Him? Because it is like that. That's what Allah requires of us. Obedience, submission, compliance. Naam. And He will be pleased with the one who's obedient to Him, who does whatever he does for the sake of Allah. Yani we're doing it because we're seeking what? To earn the pleasure of Allah. So it's important that not only we do good, but we do it for the sake of Allah. Yani meaning we're doing it in order to please Allah. Our intent in our heart is that I'm seeking to be, yani to earn the pleasure of my Lord. So when we're going to the masjid to pray in jama'ah, we should be thinking that this is something that may earn for me the pleasure of my Rabb. Yani when a person is giving something from their wealth that might be dear to them, to somebody who's in need, they should be thinking that this is something that might earn for me the pleasure of my Rabb. This is how we have to be thinking. And we have to be conscious of this. And this is part of what we talked about previously on more than one occasion, al-ihtisab. And that a person is conscious of what they're doing and that they are actually yani anticipating, expecting and hoping for the reward of their Rabb in whatever we do of good. So the Shaykh, he says, from the maqasid, the objectives of the pilgrimage, is to be successful in achieving the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being saved from His hellfire, and successfully achieving His forgiveness, gufranihi wa rahmatihi, and His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَدْ دَلَّ عَلَى هَذَا الْمَقْصِدِ الْعَظِيمِ أَدِلَّةٌ كَثِيرَةٌ. Yani, this objective or goal, this great magnificent goal of objective, has been alluded to or pointed to by many evidences. By many evidences. مِنْهَا قَوْلُهُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامِ. And from amongst those evidences is the saying of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. مَنْ حَجَّ لِلَّهِ فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ رَجْعَ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتُ أُمُّهُ. مَنْ حَجَّ لِلَّهِ, yani whoever performed pilgrimage for the sake of Allah. And here this what? Is the niyyah, the ikhlas, the intent. And in the first part of the hadith, مَنْ حَجَّ لِلَّهِ is telling us what? That you have to start with whatever you do, doing it for the sake of Allah. Whoever performs pilgrimage for the sake of Allah. Yani the intent, the niyyah, yani is doing it purely for the sake of Allah with ikhlas. And then comes the action. And in the action, the Prophet ﷺ said, فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ. That person who performed the pilgrimage, during the performance of the pilgrimage, they didn't yani do rafath. Yani that is, yani there are two meanings of this word, and both of them are applicable. The first of them is yani having sexual relations, or that which leads to it. Yani even with your legal spouse, right? During Hajj, while the person is in the state of Ihram. That the person doesn't engage in this. Nor do they engage in yani immoral, indecent speech. فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ. يعني الفسق, it means the scholars say, الفسق is خروج عن طاعة الله, going outside of obedience to Allah. So the meaning here means engaging in that which Allah has made haram, anything that Allah has forbidden. Whether it is something that is essentially forbidden in and of itself, or something that's forbidden while you're in a state of ihram. And that may be normally permissible. engaging in yani that a person does not engage in anything that Allah has forbidden, whether it's a temporary prohibition during ihram or something that is originally forbidden all the time. Not engaging in that which Allah has forbidden. So whoever performs the pilgrimage for the sake of Allah and they didn't engage in sexual relations with their spouse, nor indecent, immoral speech, and they didn't engage in any sinful behavior. Raja kayawmi waladatu ummuhu. Then that person will have returned kayawmi waladatu ummuhu. Yani just as they were on the day that their mother gave birth to them. Yani meaning min al-dhunub. Yani free from sins. They will come back, return from the Hajj, free from sins, in the condition, just as the condition they were in on the day that their mother gave birth to them. Yani the very day that we came into this world, that you came into this world, the condition that you're in, clean and pure, that's the way you return from Hajj. If you have done it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. Yani the issue here is not just learning how to perform the rites of Hajj. Rather, a person has to also do it purely for the sake of Allah alone, in addition to doing it correctly. And these are the two conditions for any deed to be accepted, right? The first of them is ikhlas, and the second of them is mutaba'ah. Naam, or muwafaqat as-sunnah. Yani, to do that which they're doing sincerely for the sake of Allah and do it in accordance with the sunnah, in accordance with the sharia. And likewise, from the evidences that point to this maqsad, yani, that is an objective of Hajj, to earn the pleasure of Allah and to be saved from His hellfire and to earn His forgiveness and His mercy. From amongst that which indicates this is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Al-Hajju al-Mabruru laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah." And this hadith begins, "Al-Umratu ila al-Umrati kafaratun lima baynahuma." That the Umrah from one to the next is a kafara, expiation for whatever sins a person has fallen in between them. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, والحج المبرور, that's for the Umrah, right? That it expiates for sins done in between them. But as for the Hajj المبرور, the acceptable Hajj, ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. Yani it doesn't have any reward except Jannah. And if the reward is Jannah, we don't need any other reward, right? And if the reward is Jannah, you don't need any other reward. Yani its reward is Jannah. What is the Hajj المبرور? Yani the scholars have different opinions concerning this particular expression, but we say accept it, yani in general, it means the Hajj is accepted. Yani if Allah accepts it, then inshallah you get the reward, right? But some of the scholars said that al-Hajj al-Mabrur, it means the Hajj in which a person has not engaged in sinful behavior, and have not committed sins. And some of the scholars said al-Hajj al-Mabrur, it means, yani as I said in the beginning, al-Maqbool, yani the Hajj that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sign that is accepted, the scholars say, is that a person returns from Hajj, yani better than the condition that they went in, and that they don't return to the things that they were doing before Hajj. That's a sign that Allah has accepted it. And some of the scholars said that Hajj Mabrur, yani Mabrur is from Birr, and Birr means yani all kinds of khair, right? So the Hajj in which yani good, yani is exemplified in that Hajj. The person is doing khair, doing all kinds of good things. And other scholars said other things, and there are a lot of definitions they have given to this. All of them really are in agreement. If you look at it, it's only really different aspects that they are presenting. From amongst the sayings of the scholars is that the Hajj al-Mabrur is the Hajj in which a person has yani fulfilled the ahkam, the requirements of the Hajj, the legal things that are required in Hajj, and that they have done it in the best way possible. Yani ala wajh al-akmal, in the best manner possible. Not yani as we generally, when I say we, I don't really mean us, I'm saying people, right? I know some people might not want to be included in this kind of statement. But anyway, yani we as human beings, naam, we are defective. And generally, yani we are not always yani up to par. Yani we're not always at our best, right? So sometimes we perform an act of worship, but we don't do it in the best manner possible. Al al-wajd akmal. Rather, we just do it. So a person comes to pray, and they go through the motions. But in reality, if you look at the way they're bowing, at the way that they're standing, at the way that they're prostrating, yani we can't even look at what's in the heart, right? We can't look at their state of khushu' and ikhlas. But if we examine our own selves, we know that we are not performing these acts of worship in the best manner possible. And that's what's required. Yani if a person wants Jannah, then yani it's not just do it, it's rather do it in the way that yani Allah is due, yani the way He deserves for it to be done. And also from the evidences that prove yani this great important objective or goal of Hajj, and earning the pleasure of Allah and being saved from his hellfire, is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith to Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. And this hadith actually has a long, and it's a long narration. The Shaykh just quotes the part of it that's important to our discussion. But let me just mention that if you can go back and find this hadith, it would definitely be worth reading. And in the hadith, he narrates this hadith on his deathbed, and his son was saying to him, "What's wrong with you?" And he's saying that, he's worried, he's concerned about his situation, he's about to die soon. And he's saying, "Didn't the Prophet ﷺ promise you such and such and so and so and such and such and so and so? What are you worried about?" And he said, I had three stages in my life. I'm just summarizing it quickly, right? Because it's very, very important and beautiful for us to look at our own selves. He said, "I had three stages in my life. The first stage of my life," he said, "that when I met the Prophet ﷺ, he was the most hated person to me. There was nobody on earth that I hated more than him. And I know that if I had died in that condition, I would be from the people of hellfire." And some of us, no doubt, we can see in ourselves that stage. He said, "And then Allah placed the Islam in my heart, and I came to the Prophet to accept Islam." And he put his hand out to take the allegiance, and he said, and he withheld his hand, and the Prophet told him, what is it? And he said, "I want to make a condition." He said, "What condition?" He said, "That Allah forgive me my previous sins." And he said, that's when he said, made this statement here. "Didn't you know that Islam removes whatever was before the sins? And that Hijrah removes, and in migration, leaving from the land of Kufr to the land of the Muslims, removes whatever was before it of sins. And that Hajj removes whatever was before it of sins." And then he said that if I had died in that condition, then I felt like I would have been from the Ahlul Jannah. But then after that, other things happened and life went on, and now I don't know what my condition is, and that's why I'm worried. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him at that point, in the second stage of his life when he accepted Islam and he wanted to make a condition, he said, "Ama alimta anna al-Islam yahdim ma kana qablahu." Didn't you know that Islam removes, destroys whatever was before it, of sins? And that al-Hijrah, the migrating from the land of Kufr to the land of the Muslims, destroys, demolishes, removes, it wipes it out and removes its effect of whatever was before it of sins. وَأَنَّ الْحَجِّ يَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهُ. And that pilgrimage, performing the pilgrimage, that's accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, destroys and removes the effect of whatever was before it. And this hadith is reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. And also the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تابعوا بين الحج والعمرة فإنهما ينفيان الفقر والذنوب كما ينفي الكير خبث الحديد والذهب والفضة وليس للحجة المبرورة ثواب إلا الجنة. And this hadith is a hadith that's Hassan, reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi and al-Nasai rahimahumullah. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, تابعوا بين الحج والعمرة, follow up, make one of them follow the other, constantly, continuously follow up between Hajj and Umrah. Don't make it one time, but keep doing them. Because these two, they remove, negate, eliminate poverty and sins. Some of us want money, and this removes poverty, these two, Hajj and Umrah, and sins. Person spends money on Hajj and Umrah, Allah replaces it with that which is better than it. Just in the same way that the bellows removes the waste from iron and gold and silver when they are purifying them. And there is no reward for the accepted Hajj except the Jannah. And then the Shaykh, after mentioning these hadith, he mentions the ayah from the Quran. And he mentions two hadith related to this ayah. And this is the sum or substance or the main core of this particular point, this objective. This ayah from the Quran, the Shaykh, he mentioned from Surah At-Tawbah, 71st and 72nd ayat from Surah At-Tawbah, 9th surah. The Shaykh says, "Wal fawz بِرِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ هُوَ أَكْبَرَ الْمِنَنْ وَأَجَلُّهَا. Yani that being successful in earning the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it is the greatest of all favors or bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the most lofty or noble of all of the gifts, yani favors, bounties, blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Yani the greatest of them, most noble of them is what? Being successful in earning, achieving the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it is important for us, and I'm saying this, it's important for us to always, in everything that we say or do, at every moment, in every situation or circumstance, always ask ourselves, is this something that will earn the pleasure of Allah or His displeasure? Naam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these ayat, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, the believing men and the believing women. بَعْدُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْدٍ, yani they are awliya of one another. Yani awliya meaning that they are, yani those who care for, love, look out for, support and protect one another. They are the awliya of one another. The believing men and the believing women. بَعْدُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْدٍ. يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They command with the ma'roof, that which is good according to the Sharia. And they forbid that which is munkar, evil according to the Sharia. With its conditions, of course, right? Enjoining the good and forbidding the evil have conditions. And we don't just enjoin the good without considering if it's going to bring about good or is it going to bring about evil at that particular point. Huh? But with conditions, right? They enjoin the good and they forbid the evil. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, and they establish the prayer. وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ, and they fulfill the obligation of charity. وَيُطِيعُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and they are obedient, constantly obedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a description of believers. Description that, yani, it is incumbent upon us to examine and to try to be described with these descriptions, that we are awliya of one another, the believers. We care about, we're concerned about, we have love for and support and aid and protect and defend the believers because of their iman, not for any other reason. Not because they're from our tribe, from our country, from our neighborhood, our best friend, our family or whatever, just because they are believers. We enjoin the good and we forbid the evil. Yani the believers enjoin the good and forbid the evil. And we establish the salat and also the zakat. And we are obedient to Allah and His Messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of this ayat, أُولَٰئِكَ سَيَرْحَمُهُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. These, indeed, Allah will have mercy upon them. Indeed, Allah is عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ, mighty and wise. Yani Allah is mighty with His might and power, and He's also, yani, wise in the application of it. Justly. In the second ayat, the Shaykh, he says, and this is, yani, where we're coming to the point, right, of the shahid for this maqsad. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Allah has promised the believing men and the believing women. What has He promised them? جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Gardens underneath which rivers flow, abiding in them forever. What a promise from the one who doesn't break his promise. And this is from the Aqeed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that when Allah makes a promise, He doesn't break it. This comes under the title of Al-Wa'ad wal-Wa'id, that Allah makes promises and Allah makes threats. And we believe that when Allah makes a promise, He doesn't fail to fulfill it. And if He makes a threat, He may punish you or He may forgive you. Huh? He may punish you or He may forgive you. He may not punish you, even though He threatened with punishment. He may not. That's up to Allah. So Allah has promised the believing men and the believing women, Jannat, gardens, تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, underneath which rivers flow. Gardens underneath which rivers flow, underneath the gardens. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, remaining in them eternally forever. وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ. And second thing He said, what? And beautiful homes, masakin al-tayyiba, beautiful homes. You can say, if you like, mansions, castles, whatever. Yani beautiful homes, tayyiba, masakin al-tayyiba, في جنات عدن, and in gardens of eternity, gardens that are eternal, that last forever, that don't end. Homes, beautiful homes, in gardens that are eternal. And then he says, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ, and a pleasure from Allah that is greater. Greater, without mentioning what is greater than, right? And whoever is studying Arabic, you understand the connotation of this. Akbar. Akbar min ماذا? Min kulli shay. Ridwanun min Allah. Akbar. Thalika huwa al-fawzul azim. And that, it is the greatest success. Yani, what is the greatest success? Ridwanun min Allah. This is from Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 72nd Ayah. The Shaykh says, here Allah Jalla wa Ala has mentioned awwalan, first, in the beginning of these two ayat, أَعْمَالَهُمْ مِنْ طَاعَةٍ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Yani the deeds of the believers. First thing he mentions, the deeds of the believers, including obedience to Allah and His Messenger. وَقِيَامٍ بِفَرَائِدِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَوَاجِبَاتِ الدِّينِ. And then he also mentioned, yani from amongst the things he mentioned from their deeds, is their fulfillment of the obligatory things in Islam and the yani duties that Allah has placed upon us in this deen. Yani from that, yani from those obligatory yani fara'id and wajibat of Islam is the saying of Allah, يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ. Yani that they establish the prayer and the zakat. وَعَمَلٍ على تبيان دين الله عز وجل نصحا لعباده. And also from the deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions from the believers, and it appears to me, and Allah knows best, that this can only be referring to the wilaya between the believers. The wilaya between the believers, that's mentioned in the beginning of the ayat. يعني المؤمنون والمؤمنات أولياء بعضهم أولياء بعض. نعم. That the believers, they are بعضهم أولياء وبعض. Some of them are يعني helpers and supporters of one another. In everything that is necessary, and the most important of that is what he mentions here, عملاً على تبيان دين الله. يعني action, the action of clarifying the deen of Allah. Clarifying, making clear the deen of Allah. يعني teaching the people the deen of Allah. What greater يعني good can you do to another believer than teaching them the deen of Allah? نُصْحًا لِعِبَادِهِ, as a way of advising and helping the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani clarification of the deen. وَأَمْرًا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهْيًا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and from their deeds is their commanding the good and forbidding the wrong. ثُمَّ, after mentioning some of these deeds of the believers, أَتْبَعَ ذَلِكَ جَلَّ شَأْنُهُ بِذِكْرِ مَا أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ ذِكْرًا مُتَدَرِّجًا. After that, after mentioning their deeds, then Allah mentions, He follows that with the mention of what He has prepared for them. And this mention here, He said, is ذِكْرًا مُتَدَرِّجًا, meaning that He's mentioning things, yani gradually, little by little, yani in an order, of what is less important to what is most important. Yani what is lesser to that which is greater. So He said, huh? فَبَدَأَهُ بِذِكْرِ أَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. So He mentions first, He began with the mention of what? That He has prepared for them gardens underneath which rivers flow. ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ ذَلِكَ سُبْحَانَهُ بِذِكْرِ الْمَسَاكِنَ الْعَظِيمَةِ وَغُرُفَاتِ الْعَلِيَّةِ الَّتِي عَدَّهَا لَهُمْ نُزُلًا وَمَسْكَنًا فِي تِلْكَ الْجَنَّاتِ. And then He mentions after that, the homes, the magnificent homes, and the lofty rooms, which He has prepared for them as a place of rest, yani as a place of living, yani residence, in those gardens. Yani gardens, and then beautiful homes in those gardens. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الْكَرَامَ الْكُبْرَ وَالْمِنَّ الْعُذْمَ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْفَوْزِ بِالرِّدْوَانِ. And then after this He mentions the greatest favor of Allah upon the believers, the greatest gift, yani the most magnificent of the gifts that He gave to the believers, and that is yani being successful in achieving the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, yani in the end of this series of ayats, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ, and the good pleasure from Allah, a good pleasure from Allah, this is the greatest. ثُمَّ خَتَمَ السِّيَاكْ بِقَوْلِهِ, and then he mentioned yani this series of things that are mentioned here with the saying, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, and that, yani this good pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the most magnificent, the greatest success. Now the Shaykh, he begins to discuss these ayats a little bit before mentioning two hadith that he closed with. And he says, فَقَوْلُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ رِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ, yani a pleasure from Allah, and that is the greatest. Even though he didn't mention what it is greater than after it, he didn't mention after his saying Akbar anything, and that is due to لِلْعِلْمْ بِهِ, because what it is known. Yani what is it greater than? Everything that, yani everything before that, everything that has been mentioned before that is greater than all of that. وَبَيَّانًا لِعِظَمْ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ وَجَلَالَةِ شَعْنِهِ وَأَنَّهُ أَكْبَرْ مِنْ كُلِّ نَعِيمٍ وَأَجَلُّ مِنْ كُلِّ عَطِيَّةٍ. And also, he didn't mention it in order to clarify the greatness of the pleasure of Allah, how great it is. It's not even worthy that he mentioned some things with it that is greater than them. Rather, to show the magnificence of the pleasure of Allah and its, and the yani the sublimity of its affair, and that it is greater than every na'im, every blessing or bounty or favor, and it is more lofty and more noble than every gift that is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ رِضْوَانُ اللَّهِ, and the reason for this, yani why is the pleasure of Allah greater than the Jannah and everything that's in it? Why is it greater? He said, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ رِضْوَانُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى صِفَةٌ مِنْ صِفَاتِهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. عليكم السلام. Huh? Why is it greater than Jannah and all of the bounties and favors that are in the Jannah? It is because the pleasure of Allah, it is a sifa min sifatihi. Yani it is a characteristic of Allah's personal characteristics. Yani the pleasure of Allah, meaning Allah Himself, He is pleased with you. This is not like something that Allah created. This is part of Allah Himself from His sifat. How can anything created be equal to the sifat of Allah? So the Shaykh, yani even though in some of the books of tafsir they've given different explanations for this yani point here, but this is the clearest that I have read. Yani why is it the greatest, the pleasure of Allah, why is it greater than everything else that the people have been given in Jannah, including the Jannah itself, is because the pleasure of Allah is a sifa, a characteristic from the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While the Jannah, His Jannah, the Jannah of Allah, and whatever is in it, of karamat, and mataya, wa hibat, all the things that Allah has given to honor the people, whatever gifts He has given, all of these are makhluqun min makhluqati Allahi azza wa jalla. These are all created things from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So the pleasure of Allah is greater than every blessing. It is greater than the Jannah and greater than the blessings that are in the Jannah. Since, yani, and for this reason, yani, it is the greatest yani honor that Allah has given to the people and the most lofty of the gifts that He has given to them. وَيُوَدِّحُ هَذَا الْمَعْنَى فِي الْآيَاتِ, and that which makes clear this meaning, that which makes clear this meaning, the pleasure of Allah being the great, being greater than anything that has been given in the Jannah, the things in the Jannah and the Jannah itself, this meaning has been made clear, even though it is crystal clear already. يعني وَاضِحًا ظَاهِرًا, and its meaning is already clear, just the ayat itself. But what makes it even more clear is that which has been narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim in their two authentic books from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى يَقُولُ لِأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, that Allah the Blessed and the Most High will say to the people of Jannah, that Allah will speak to the people of Jannah, and He will say, يَا أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, He will say, O people of Jannah, O people of the Paradise, فَيَقُولُونَ لَبَيْكَ رَبَّنَا وَسَعَدَيْكَ. And in the narration, actually in Bukhari, it has other words that are left out here, maybe from printing mistake, وَالْخَيْرُ فِي يَدَيْكَ, yani it should be there, وَالْخَيْرُ فِي يَدَيْكَ. And Allah will say, O people of Paradise, and they will say, here we are at your command, O our Rabb. Yani wasa'adik, yani and we are, and the pleasure, yani or the happiness is with you, and the khair, all of it is in your hands. Every type of khair and all of it is in your hands. فَيَقُولُ هَلْ رَضِيتُمْ, Allah will say to them, He called to them to ask them this question. Are you pleased? Yani, are you pleased with your Rabb and what He has given you? Hal raditum? Have you been pleased? And they will say, وَمَا لَنَا لَا نَرْضَى وَقَدْ أَعْطَيْتَنَا مَا لَمْ تُعْطِي أَحَدًا مِنْ خَلْقِكَ. How can we not be pleased when You have given us that which You have not given to anyone or anything in the creation? And what they have been given in Jannah, how can we not be pleased with what You have given us? And it's greater than whatever has been given to anyone in the creation. فَيَقُولُ أَنَا أُعْطِيكُمْ. Or in some of the narrations say, أَلَا أُعْطِيكُمْ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ. Shall I not give you that which is better than that? Better than all that you have been given in Jannah. And all that you have been given until now, that which is better than that. Shall I not give you that which is better than that? And they will say, Ya Rabb, وَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ. O our Rabb, what could be better than this? Yani that which we have been given. And He will say, أُحِلُّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِضْوَانِي فَلَا أَسْخَطُ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا. That I will descend upon you My pleasure, and I will never be angry with you after it, ever. Naam. And the Shaykh mentions another hadith similar, yani supporting the same meaning. Yani the meaning here, yani so that it's clear, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the people in Jannah and given them the bounties and favors of Jannah. He will ask them, are they pleased? And they will say, we are pleased. How can we not be pleased? And He says, shall I not give you yani that which is better than that? And they will say, yani what could be better than that? And then He will say, what is better than that? Is that My pleasure descend upon you permanently. Not like sometimes you please with somebody today and tomorrow for a week or a month, and then you're not pleased with them no more. He said, I will never be angry with you after that. Naam. And the narration of Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak with the Isnad, the Sahih from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhumah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةَ. Yani if and when the people of Jannah enter the Jannah, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ هَلْ تَشْتَهُونَ شَيْئًا أَزِيدُكُمْ. Is there anything that you desire that I may give you an increase in? And can I give you some more? Is there anything that you desire? And they will say, رَبَّنَا وَمَا فَوْقَ مَا أَعْطَيْتَنَا. O our Rabb, what could be above what You have already given us? And He will say, رِضْوَانِ أَكْبَرُ. Yani My pleasure is greater than what You have been given. My pleasure is greater than what You have been given in Jannah. Yani greater than the Jannah, the Shaykh said, أَكْبَرُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَا فِيهَا. Greater than the Jannah and whatever is in it. فَيَنْبَغِي عَلَى الْمُسْلَمِ أَنْ يَجْعَلُ هَذَا الْمَقْصِدِ نُصْبَ عَيْنَيْهِ. So it is incumbent upon every Muslim to place this goal or this objective, yani erected in front of your eyes. Yani give attention. Yani full attention. Keep this in front of you at all times. And that it be, and يَكُونُ حَاضِرًا فِي قَلْبِهِ. Yani that this is something that is you're consciously present, yani conscious of. You are conscious of all the time. That your heart is aware and conscious of this objective that we should be seeking to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْ يَلْتَمِسُ فِي حَجِّهِ لِبَيْتِ اللَّهِ الْحَرَامِ الْفَوْزِ بِرُدْوَانِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَغُفْرَانِهِ وَالْعِتْقِ مِنَ النِّيرَانِ. And that, yani we should seek out and search during the Hajj to the sacred house of Allah, we should seek out to achieve successfully the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His forgiveness, and to be freed from the hellfire. وَأَنْ يَحْرِسَ عَلَى هُدُورِهِ فِي ذِئْنِهِ فِي كُلِّ مَقَامٍ وَفِي كُلِّ مَوْقِفٍ وَفِي كُلِّ حَالٍ فِي الْحَجِّ وَفِي غَيْرِهِ. And that a person, right, has this consciousness, yani to be eager and diligent in having the consciousness of this maqsid, this objective, yani of achieving the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and freedom from the hellfire. That a person strive and struggle and eagerly, diligently seek to have this presence of mind in every place, in every situation, in every circumstance, in Hajj and in other than Hajj. In Hajj and in other than Hajj. And this is because this ayat, if it is present in the heart, yani a person is conscious of this ayat and that which it indicates, Yani this maqsad, yani if that which, yani this maqsad, if this is the objective of the human being, this is the ghaya, the goal of the human being, this is the matlab, the thing that one one seeks. If that is the case for any human being, that this is present in their mind, and this is their goal and their objective and that which they are seeking, فَإِنَّ أَحْوَالَهُ كُلَّهَا تَصْلُحُ وَأُمُورَهُ كُلَّهَا تَطِيبُ. Then all of their condition, yani their every condition, it will be rectified and it will be improved, and all of their affairs, yani will be tayyib, yani will be good. If a person what? Consciously seeks out to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second maqsad, and yani it's a little bit shorter than the first one, hopefully we'll finish it yani this evening, is tahqiq taqwa Allah azza wa jalla. Yani the realization or the actualization, the establishment of taqwa of Allah. Yani a consciousness in which a person yani realizes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rights over us, and that it is incumbent upon us to fulfill those things that He has commanded us with, and to avoid those things that He has prohibited from. And that consciousness or that presence of heart and mind is the thing that motivates us to do that which is pleasing to Allah. This is taqwa, and the scholars have given different definitions of it. We talked about it previously on various occasions. Here the Shaykh says, from the objectives or goals of Hajj is the achievement of taqwa of Allah Jalla wa Ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ أَكْثَرَ في آيات الحج على قلتها من الوصية بالتقوى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned many times the advice or the command to observe taqwa in these ayats of Hajj, even though there are only a few ayats in the Quran that deal with Hajj. Even though there are few, and those few ayats Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned so many times, yani the wasiyah, the advice or the command to observe taqwa. And this is because the causes or the means to achieve taqwa occur during the pilgrimage in a way that they don't occur in anything else other than the pilgrimage. And that only will occur مع الوعي الصحيح وحقيقة بحقيقة الحج ومغزاه. This realization of these means of achieving the taqwa, yani it is only if a person has yani correct awareness of the reality of the pilgrimage and what is intended by it. The reality of the pilgrimage and what is intended by it. فَقَدْ تَقَرَّرَتْ الْوَصِيَّةُ بِالتَّقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي سِيَاكَ عَيَاتِ الْحَجِّ مِنْ سُرَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ. Yani the mention of the command to observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been repeated in the course of the ayats of Hajj from Surah Al-Baqarah. Yani from the 196th ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, to 203rd ayat. And in the first of these ayats dealing with Hajj, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends it, the first ayat 196, He ends by saying, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَعَلَّمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. Observe taqwa of Allah and know that Allah is severe in punishing. And know that Allah is severe in punishing. And during these ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the next ayat 197, He says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرُ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. And gather up the means, the provisions for the journey. Yani the provisions that a person carries on a journey so that they will be free of need of asking other people. Take provisions. Yani the people in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, some of the people used to say that we're putting our trust in Allah. They didn't carry provisions. But they weren't putting their trust in Allah. They were just beggars. So Allah told them, وَتَزَوَّدُوا. You have to bring your own provisions for Hajj. Material things that you need during the Hajj so you don't be begging. But Allah says after that, فَإِنَّ خَيْرُ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. For indeed the best of provisions is taqwa. That's a different matter altogether. Yani the provisions that the first part of the ayat is talking about is material things. And the provisions that the second part of the ayat is talking about is provisions for the journey to the hereafter. For indeed the best of provisions is at taqwa. And this, some of the scholars said, is an indication that even though it is obligatory to carry provisions for the journey for Hajj, the provisions for the journey to the hereafter is more important than that. And both of them are obligatory. And Allah says, for indeed the best of provisions is taqwa. So have observed taqwa of me, ya ulul albab, O people of understanding. And then Allah seals and He closes out these ayats of Hajj with His saying, in ayat 203 of Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَاعْلَمُوا. Like the first ayat ended with the same saying, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَاعْلَمُوا. Here he said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. Observe taqwa of Allah and know that to Him you are going to be gathered. Yani for judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hajj, yani 22nd Surah, 32nd Ayat, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Yani that which has been mentioned, yani is a fact. And here Allah says what? وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. Yani so whoever magnifies, recognizes the importance and greatness of the symbols of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani in the Hajj specifically and otherwise, then to do so, to recognize, yani what is this place called Arafat and Mina and Muzdalifah and the pillars that are stoned, these things, these places and these actions, whoever recognizes the magnificence of these things and gives them the importance that is due to them, فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَ اللَّهِ. Then yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, recognize the importance of these things, for indeed to do so is a manifestation of taqwa that's in the hearts. And in another place in Surah Al-Hajj, that's in the 32nd ayah and 37th ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهُ لُحُومَهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. That the meat from the sacrifices and the blood from the sacrifices doesn't reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that which reaches Him, yani that which Allah recognizes and records and rewards, is the taqwa from you, the observance of a taqwa. The Shaykh is showing here how even though these are just a few ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continually mentioned a taqwa in Hajj. And this is because a taqwa, it is the greatest wasiyah, the greatest advice or command. And it is the best provisions for the day of return, yani returning to Allah. And it is the wasiyah of Allah, لِلْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. And it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the first and the last of His created beings, yani to all the nations from the beginning until the end. As it came in Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah, 131st Ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. That indeed we have commanded those who are given the book before you and you, meaning the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to observe taqwa of Allah. This is the wasiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of humanity from the beginning to the end. وَهِيَ وَسِيَةُ النَّبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لِأُمَّتِي. And it is also the advice and the command of the Prophet, the noble Prophet, to his Ummah, to his Ummah. So indeed, whenever he used to send any commander over a raiding party, he used to advise them, أَوْصَاهُ فِي خَاسَةِ نَفْسِهِ بِالتَّقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَبِمَنْ مَعْهُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ خَيْرًا. And he used to advise them, command them to observe taqwa within themselves, personally, meaning in those affairs that don't affect the people, between you and Allah, observe taqwa of Allah. And in reference to the people, the things that you do that affect the people, then treat them well. And this is similar to what the Prophet ﷺ told to Mu'adh when he sent him to Yemen. He said, تَقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ وَأَتْبِعَ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ تَمْهُهَا وَخَالِكَ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Yani, observe taqwa of Allah and also treat the people well. And this hadith we discussed in detail previously. And the Shaykh, he says, and the Prophet ﷺ used to mention the observance of taqwa of Allah frequently, a lot, in his khutb. And whenever, and when he addressed the people in the Hajj of Wada, the farewell pilgrimage on the day of Nahr, the tenth of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, yani the day of the major acts of Hajj, and the day after Arafah, he advised the people to observe taqwa of Allah. Then the Shaykh says, and the Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors of this Ummah from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and Atba'a Tabi'een, and those who followed in their way, they continuously used to advise one another with taqwa. And that is because it is the best of provisions that will enable a person to reach or to earn the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And when a man said to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, ittaqillah. And he said to Umar ibn al-Khattab, ittaqillah. Imagine, yani somebody underneath you saying to you, ittaqillah. It's as though they are saying, yani something wrong with you, get yourself together, right? That's how we would take it. But Umar, he didn't take it like that. How did he answer this man? He said, لَا خَيْرَ فِيكُمْ إِن لَمْ تَقُولُوهَا. There's no good in you at all if you didn't say this to me. if you didn't tell me to fear Allah, there will be no good in you whatsoever if you didn't tell your leader to fear Allah. وَلَا خَيْرًا فِينَا وَلَا خَيْرَ فِينَا إِذَا لَمْ نَقْبَلْهَا. And there is no good in us if we didn't accept it from you. Naam. And the sayings of the Salaf concerning this are many, and the Shaykh refers us to Jamil Ulum al-Hikm al-Ibn Rajab, and the page is there where this topic is discussed in detail. And in closing, the Shaykh says, فَمَا أَجْمَلَ أَنْ يَعُودَ الْحَاجُ مِنْ حَجِّهِ مُتَزَوِّدًا بِهَذَا الزَّادِ الْعَظِيمِ الْمُبَارَكِ. What could be more beautiful and better than that the pilgrim returns from their pilgrimage, yani having taken on the provisions, this blessed, magnificent provisions, yani the provision of what? Of a taqwa. For indeed, the command of Allah, the advice of Allah Azza wa Jalla, of observing taqwa is repeated over and over and over again in the ayats of pilgrimage. And this repetition of the command to observe taqwa in the ayats of pilgrimage, and Allah's call, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the ulul albab, to the people who have understanding, addressing the people who are expected to understand. When Allah is addressing those people who He expects to understand, He's telling them to observe taqwa. This is an indication that the people of intellect and understanding, it is incumbent upon them, in consideration of the fact that Allah has honored them to perform the pilgrimage, it is incumbent upon them to make the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla from the greatest of their objectives in Hajj. From the greatest of their objectives of Hajj. And that they utilize their intellects and their minds in those places and during those rites, those great and magnificent rites of Hajj, utilize their mind to reflect, to consider, to ponder upon these places and these acts during the Hajj, لِيَسْتَفِيدُ مِنْهَا تَقْوَى اللَّهِ, so that they may يعني benefit from performing these acts and visiting these places during the Hajj. What will be the benefit? They will earn and achieve taqwa of Allah. فَالْحَجُّ مَدْرَسَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ لِلتَّقْوَى. Indeed, the Hajj, it is a great magnificent school for learning taqwa, for achieving taqwa. وَبَابٌ عَظِيمٌ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا. And it is a great doorway, an entrance, yani from the doorways to achieving taqwa. وَشَعَارُهُ. And the yani the rites of Hajj, of the pilgrimage. تُعَدُّ أَعْظَمْ مُعِينًا عَلَى تَحْقِيقْ تَحْوَى اللَّهِ. Yani that the rites of Hajj are considered from amongst the greatest things that will aid a person to realize, to achieve, to establish the taqwa of Allah Jalla wa Ala. And this is because, and this is what we close with, and this is because, yani why is it that the rites of Hajj and the places that are visited during Hajj are considered from amongst the greatest aids in a person achieving a taqwa? ذَلِكَ لِمَا فِي أَعْمَالِ الْحَجِّ مِنْ رِيَاضَةٍ لِلنُّفُوسِ وَتَمْرِينٍ لَهَا عَلَى اللُّزُومِ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَالْإِقْبَالِ عَلَى عِبَادَتِي وَالْبُعْدِ عَنَ الْحَالَةِ الَّتِي كَانَ عَلَيْهَا الْعَبْدُ قَبْلُ مِنَ التَّفَلُّتِ وَعَدَمِ الْإِنْضِبَاطِ وَالْإِلْتِزَامِ بِأَوَامِرِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Yani, why is it that the rites of Hajj are considered, the actions that are done during Hajj are considered from the greatest things to help a person to achieve a taqwa? It is because these actions of the Hajj are a training and an exercise for the souls in sticking to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person wants to train themselves to adhere to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the greatest means of achieving such is the performance of Hajj. And whoever has performed Hajj, if you reflect upon it, you will see that it is constant, yani challenging obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Physically, mentally, spiritually, from every aspect that you can consider it. Yani it is a training for the nafs in constant adherence to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And eagerness, al-iqbala ibadati, yani giving attention and concern, and concern, yani being eager for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and distancing oneself from the condition that the abd was upon before going to the Hajj. Yani from being unrestrained and unrestricted. and not having discipline and not adhering to the commands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Hajj, the actions of Hajj, help a person to constantly, yani to learn how to be in constant obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it encourages a person, yani to be eager and diligent and attentive to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the whole of the Hajj is worship, worship, worship. And it also, yani, helps a person to distance themselves from the condition that they were in before they came for the Hajj. And the condition of what? Of lack of discipline and absence of adherence to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.